Hello and welcome back to another episode of On The Mat BDJ podcast. Today's guest is Alexander Trans. This podcast is sponsored by Top Rank Equipment, SubmissionFighting.se and Defense Soap. So today's guest on the Mat BDJ podcast is Alexander Trans. Big welcome to you. How are you?
Thanks. I'm good. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing good. So we're going to talk to you a little bit about your BDJ training, competitions and stuff like that. But I was wondering if you could do a short introduction of yourself for the listeners.
Yeah, sure. My name is Alexander. I'm from Denmark. I'm 25 years old. I trained jiu-jitsu for 10 years now, actually 10 years Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and then 2 years before that I had seen UFC with Royce Gracie, you know, and I wanted to train Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but where I lived there wasn't any Brazilian jiu-jitsu, so I trained like Japanese traditional jiu-jitsu for 2 years, and like sport jiu-jitsu, competed a little bit in Denmark, and then I started training jiu-jitsu.
Is this in Copenhagen?
Yeah, no. I lived out like a bit far from Copenhagen, like 30 kilometers, like on kind of like the countryside, you know.
Okay.
So there was a lot. So then when I turned 15, then I started training in. I got like a moped, you know, and yeah. Started going through Albert Slot, which is like near Copenhagen, in Mikenza Gym. Where Mike Pyle, who fights UFC now, he used to give classes there.
Okay.
And then I started training there with him. And the first year was only no-gi. And then after that, I started training with the gi as well. And then, yeah, training since then. So like 10 years now.
Do you remember why you got started at all?
Yeah, like I always like to like... fight, like wrestle around and stuff, you know, and with my friends, and but then my uncle he used to do karate, and he told me about UFC and stuff, you know, and showed me the videos of Royce.
Yeah,
and then I thought that I'd like to learn that, you know, and that's how it started.
Okay, so when did you start training with Art Suave?
At Suave, that was in 2009, in the beginning of 2009.
And what kind of belt did you have when you started there? Were you a blue?
Yeah, I was purple.
Purple belt, okay.
Actually, I got my purple when I was 17, I got my purple, and then I was 19, almost 20 when I started in At Suave. And then So I started in the start of 2009.
Okay.
But then, like when I came to Art Suave, I started training like more seriously, like training every day, and I trained at like Choke Academy before, and that was like a great academy, great teacher, and you know, but it was only like training 2-3 times a week, you know.
Okay.
So, but then when I came to Art Suave, you know, then everybody trained a lot, and you know, then the guys like to compete and stuff, you know, and that's kind of what like it brought me to start more to get, I got inspired by that environment, and you know, started training seriously, and then, so yeah.
Do you have like any early goals in life? And when you started like training, did you realize you would be where you are now?
I think it like at the time when I started, like jiu-jitsu was so small in Denmark. You know, I didn't really see I couldn't like visualize the way, you know, to like competing internationally and traveling, and like I didn't know, I didn't have that too much in my mind, you know.
Okay.
I just like to train, and I like to compete as well, but yeah, in 2009 I started training like like really like training hard every day and stuff, you know. And then I started to get goals. Like then, you know, I wanted to. Then my goal was to be like, come maybe go to the podium in black belt, you know, at the Worlds. That was my goal. And
Okay.
then all the time the goals changes, you know.
Yeah. So from whom did you receive your black belt?
Yeah, that was from Simon and Leo, Leo
Okay.
Vieira. But like Simon Mochizuki from Atsuabi, he was the guy who he was the one to tie the
Okay.
belt in Atsuabi.
And this was in.
That yeah, I'm gonna get my first stripe now, so it's like 3 years ago. Like
Okay.
I think October 3 years ago, 2011. Yeah, I came to Atsuabi in 2009. And then I started training like seriously,
Yeah.
and then I was actually thinking about starting doing MMA. I was already doing some MMA,
Yeah.
but then I started competing, you know, because I haven't been like when I started jiu-jitsu like with 15 years, 16. Then I was competing a lot, you know, but then I had some time where like I changed the academy, and it was very far from where I lived, and like those things, the training was only 2-3 times per week. I wasn't competing so much, but then I started competing again a lot in jiu-jitsu. I competed Scandinavian Open, and then in 2010, that was like my first international competition. Like I fought the Europeans at a purple belt, and went there and won weight and absolute. And then I went to the Worlds the same year and won my category. And then I just kept competing, you know. And then so in 2010 I won the Worlds at purple, and then all at brown I won like all the big competitions, weight and open class, like European, Pan, and Worlds. And then in the fall of 2011, then I got my black belt.
So when did you realize that I could make a living out of this? I'm pretty good at this.
I think it was at like a brown belt.
Yeah, okay.
After winning purple, like I won the Worlds at purple without having gone to Brazil training, you know. And then shortly after that, I went and stayed a month in Brazil with the guys and fought the Rio Open. And then I fought all the Nogi. Like I won weight and open at the Nogi Pan, Nogi Brasileiro, and then I won the Nogi Worlds at the Brown. And then I don't know. It's not like an exact moment. It was just like one. You go from one goal to another, you know, and then you get your
Yeah.
black belt, and you want to do a well there, and then yeah. So it's just like that.
Do you go to Brazil or do you go to the States to train?
Like I never went to the States to train. I only went there for like a week to for just for the week of the championship.
Okay.
But like before when I used to travel, like before the big, I would try to spend as much time as possible in Brazil, like especially before the big tournaments, you know. So then I would always go to I've been to Rio, I've been to São Paulo, and then I've been to João Pessoa. Where I actually I met my teacher who I'm training with now, Bobby Sponger, Helder Mendelos. I met him. He came to Denmark in 2010 and did a seminar, and came again the next year. And then I came to his academy in Shobisowa. The first time was when I was still brown belt, when I was fighting the ADCC in 2011, and then I did my preparation there at his academy, and then I went again the next year, and
Okay.
then now I'm training with him here. So now I don't travel anymore to train because I do my training here. I have my job here, you know, so I only
Yeah.
travel to compete. So I do all my training here.
Okay. You find that is sufficient? Is enough?
Yeah.
Okay.
What? Excuse me?
Do you find the training at Dubai is it sufficient? Does it hold the
Oh,
same
it's.
level as in Brazil?
For me, training wise, like the quality of my training partners, I never had better.
Okay.
I never had this level.
Okay.
I have like 6 guys of about 100 kilos or plus black belts, I have guys 90 kilos, 80 kilos. 70, I have, and like my training is where I do is it's only black belts, and I have my teacher, you know, every day. That's the thing that I didn't have before. Like, I didn't have that guy, you know, when I was in, you know, that teacher looking with that experience, like correcting your mistakes and everything, you know. In Denmark, it was more like all of us were trying to help each other, and then the guys would come for seminars and stuff, you know. But to have a guy every day correcting your mistakes and teaching, that's yeah. So quality wise, it's the best training I've had. But the difficult thing here is juggling like the schedule between work and training, because here I work like 6-7 hours a day, and then there's like sometimes meetings or extra work and weekends and stuff, you know. So
what kind of work do you do?
I teach at the in the jiu-jitsu school project.
Okay.
So I teach children from there about from 11 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
So I teach in the like a public school. So my schedule is like I teach in the from 7 to 1 or 2 o'clock. I teach, I work, and then I go directly and do my physical preparation, and then later in the night I do my training.
Okay.
So that's
so
like,
how many hours a week do you have your own training?
Like right now, because it's kind of out of season, you know. Then I'm doing 10 trainings between physical preparation and jiu-jitsu. So I do like I have 5 jiu-jitsu trainings and 5 physical preparations. And then when it's season, then I do 6-6.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm training less than before, but you know, you have to then. It's difficult, you know, but then I try to get like the maximum out of the training sessions that I do, you know.
Yeah.
But of course, it's difficult.
So is jiu-jitsu big over there?
It's like when the championships here, it's on national television, you know, and all the in the public schools, it's like a normal subject, like mathematics or science. Like all the kids train, you know, and they have it in the military bases as well. And then they have, of course, clubs as well. And it's growing all the time, you know. It's growing. So
do you know why it's such a big thing, like they have it in the schools? How come they have it like that?
That's like in they look at it as a way to not only just to teach a sport, man, but also as a way to like educate the children. Teach them things like discipline and sportsmanship, because jiu-jitsu is not just like a sport. Like it's a lot more than that, like the philosophy and everything, you know. So they see it as an investment, like that, they're like educating the children.
Okay.
So yeah.
So what keeps you motivated to train and to compete?
Oh, I just love to train and compete. I just love it. I just I don't train because I have to go to a competition. Like of course, then I do some more, you know, maybe some more training. Do like more heavy on the physical preparation, but like the jiu-jitsu training, I always train. You know, when I have vacation or when it's out of season, I like. I just love training, you know.
Okay.
So,
do you have any specific goals that you wanted to reach?
Yeah, like it's difficult, you know. But of course, it's like my goal is to do my best and do my best and knowing that I'm doing the best I can, training the hardest I can, you know.
Yeah.
But of course, it's a dream of mine to like to win the worlds at black belt, you know. I know it's not gonna be easy. Now, 2 times I was third place, and this year I was second place, and Yeah, I'm gonna keep working, but I'm not like focused on like winning a title. I'm more focused on evolving my jiu-jitsu, getting better, and then trying not to focus, because winning a championship doesn't only depend on you, it depends on the other guys as well. So I'm trying to focus on being the best that I can be, you know. But that's of course a goal for everyone who competes at a high level to win that. So.
So how did you end up in Dubai?
In Abu Dhabi, actually. I live in Abu Dhabi. I ended up because I was finding it's kind of hard. The thing is, in Denmark, I couldn't train. I didn't have the sufficient training to compete at the international championships. You know, I couldn't. I had to always travel to do that, you know. And when you travel all the time, it's difficult to like have a steady income, like a job, and like to have a or teach at an academy and stuff like that, when you're always 3 months here, 2 months there, you know. So I was needing something more stable, you know. And if I was like, if I lived in Brazil or if I lived in the US, then I could train, and then I could find like some, maybe a part-time job and work in the weekends, like I did also in Denmark. But when you have to travel all the time, it's difficult. So the good thing here is that we are like 200 coaches and down here in the project. So there are like, of course, it's not everyone who trains and stuff, but there's like a lot of people. So there are a lot of training partners here, and you have like a stable life, you know. So my teacher, Hildo Medeiros, he moved down here in 2012, and my other friend, Shib, and that I met in Shobasoa. And they actually, it was kind of funny, because last year in 2013, I had problems going into Brazil, because I had overstayed with like 3 weeks or something. You can only stay 6 months a year in 2012, and I couldn't then I couldn't do my camp, you know, for the world. And I was like, I didn't know what to do, you know. And then I spoke with him, and he, because I hadn't even thought about coming here, like I didn't know that there were like there was tough training here and stuff. And he invited me, and I came just training, you know, preparing for the worlds. And then I applied, went and did a job interview, and then already like September last year, then I came down here, started working. So
You talked a little bit earlier about MMA. Do you have any kind of MMA plans?
no, not at the moment. Before, it was that I was thinking about, like really considering and thinking that that was like the next goal. But right now, I don't see it happening like anytime soon, at least. And I think right now I'm just so focused on, because like now it's not in MMA. You don't see a lot of like pure jiu-jitsu guys going in and doing well. You know, it's a completely different sport. And I'm just I like jiu-jitsu, and I think the sport is growing a lot. You know, it's like, of course, there's a lot more money in MMA, but today in jiu-jitsu you can make a living as well, you know. And if you can make a living doing something that you like to do, then you shouldn't go to something else just because you maybe can make more, like a more money. Because then, if you do it only for the money, you have to do it because that's what you really want. Because if you see a lot of guys going to MMA because there's better money and stuff, and then they end up not doing well, you know. So you have to do what you like. So
It also seems like you can have a longer career in jiu-jitsu than MMA. MMA
yeah, I think so.
looks like a short window of time that you can be professional, and then you're out of
Yeah.
it totally. Jiu-jitsu, you can keep practicing. You can do the masters. You can have your own academy. You could be a teacher or whatever.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, how important is ADCC for you?
Oh yeah, the ADCC is that's like the Mundial and the ADCC, that are those two are the two. If I feel more at home like fighting, you mean like Nogi?
Yeah.
No, actually, no. I'm training more with the gi. Like, I only take the gi off to do like a specific championship if I'm training.
Okay.
I did now. I did. I fought the European Championship, ADCC, and qualified for next year's ADCC Worlds in Manaus.
Okay.
And I fought the first one I fought was in 2011 when I was still brown belt, and then I was supposed to go last year. But then I had some problems because my passport got stuck in immigration down here because I moved here like 3 weeks before the ADCC.
Okay.
And then on the week, I found out I couldn't go, you know. So, yeah, so I qualified for next year. So I'm going to do a good camp for that
Yeah.
one.
So why is it that you prefer the gi before the no gi?
Oh, I just think it's more, there's more. I think there's more variation, and I don't know if I would say it's more technical, but it's like it's more difficult for a guy to. Maybe sometimes you can get a longer way with just athleticism and maybe like a wrestler type style in ADCC, just like trying kind of not fighting, you know. I just think the like I prefer the gi, but I like the no gi game as well.
Yeah, okay. So you're a pretty big guy, and most of the big guys are like roaming around in the feats, but you often like pull guard or deep half guard. When and how did you make the decision to base your game from the bottom?
When I started training, you know, I was always the smallest, you know, because I was like
Were you the smallest
training
one?
with the adults always.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, because I started training when I was like 15 and 16 when I competed back then. There wasn't any juvenile division, you know, so
Okay.
it was just adults I always competed with, and then and for me also, I'm not like the fastest guys like wrestling. I never trained it a lot, you know. So it's like either you have to take the guy down or you have to pull guard. And then I started pulling guard. But today it's like I feel as comfortable on top as on the bottom. Like it's like the same for me.
Okay.
Like that.
So I just watched a couple of fights yesterday to like remind myself of how you fight. But the first thing I saw that you rarely use a patched gi. Is that any specific reasons for that?
I really what? Excuse me.
I haven't seen any patches on your gi when you fight. It's very clean. It's just a clean gi with no patches. When you fight Bushesha and everyone else, they have patches all over the place. But you're fighting
Yeah.
in a pretty clean gi. Why is that?
Yeah. Actually, that's just because I'm not organized. Like, then I put patches on one gi, and then I end up ripping it up, and then that's not time to put it on. So it's not anything thought through for sure. Like
Okay.
I have to. That's something I have to be better at putting. But it's not something that I put any thought behind. So no.
Okay. Are you a guy? Would you consider yourself a guy that is like on social media and trying to promote yourself, getting sponsors or invitation for super fights?
No, actually, I'm terrible at that. Like the only like things like that I do is when somebody like asks me to do an interview or something, then I do it. Or and like the sponsors I've gotten and like the propositions to the to do like super fights and stuff, it's never something that I con it's always because I get contacted. So I don't that's something that I have to get better at, you know. So because that's important today in jiu-jitsu. So you see some guys like especially some American guys who like they if you look at the curriculum, they never won like a big title, you know, at a black belt, but they are like giving a lot of seminars, getting a lot of sponsorships and attention and stuff because they're just good at promoting, you know. So it's but I think it depends on your personality as well. Like it's good to promote and stuff, but if it's not who you are to be like putting up all the time, then it also just it becomes kind of strange if you do it, you know, if it's not a natural thing. But
Do you think it's necessary to be like on social media and promote yourself, or you think you can manage by being more laid back and waiting for the calls?
No, like I think at least like a Facebook. Like I did my before I didn't even have Facebook. Like I made my Facebook in like 2 years ago, you know. So at least you have to get you have to be people have to it has to be easy to at least get in contact with you, you know.
I
And
tried to find you on Instagram yesterday, but I couldn't find you.
no, yeah, I don't have. I'm thinking about doing one,
Yeah, you should.
but yeah, I think it's important for sure, you know,
Yeah.
to promotion also for your for sponsors and stuff. Like I put things up more like, of course, when I do like a competition and stuff, then I put something up, you know. So, but that's definitely something that I have to get better as well.
Is there like any kind of events or super fights you would really like to do?
Like I don't have like a specific opponent like in mind. Anyone? I would like everyone. Like, but I'd like to do this. There's a new event starting now in England, Polaris,
Okay.
and I'd like to. That looks cool. It's like a kind of like a Metamori style, like with the 20 minutes sub only, you know. I'd like to do Metamorphosis too. That's
Yeah.
like I think those events are really important for our sport because those are events that pay the fighters how they deserve to be paid, and they pay money, they pay their travel expenses and stuff because you know. It's of course it's for us it's important to fight the Mundial because it's a lot of visibility, you know, so it's important for like our sponsors and for us to make our name, you know. But you know, besides that you because you can't eat a medal, you know, you have to make our you know, so that's great. And then I think that's the way that's the future to make a show because a person who doesn't know too much about jiu-jitsu, they go to the World Championships. You can have like Hodo for fighting on one mat, and you're not even gonna see it's him fighting unless you like you really you know who is who, you know. It's not
Exactly.
like it has to be. You have to present it in a more professional manner, you know. So that's something that's really great. That, and I see more events. I'm getting more people asking me to do super fights. Like, unfortunately, I can't say yes to all because of my work obligations down here. So it's
Of
like
course.
I have to choose. But it's something really important. Like also now the IBJJF are starting as well, doing those pro tournaments where they pay money, and you
Yeah.
know that's the for sure the future.
Would you prepare yourself in a different way for a 20-minute fight submission only, or would you like to train as usual?
No, I train as usual.
Yeah, okay.
I would train the as usual. I think for me, I would prefer 20 minutes because for me, I'm kind of a slow starter. So like 10 minutes is enough for me. Like 6 minutes, I'm not good at 6 minutes fights. So 10 minutes, and I've never fought a 20 minute. So that would be a nice experience, and yeah, that would be really nice.
Yeah. It seems like you sometimes end up facing Buchecha in the finals. Both of you are checkmate, right?
Actually, I just went out,
You did?
like
Okay.
not anything, yeah, but not any dramatic anything. I'm training with my teacher, you know, who was checkmate before as well, had the Medeiros, and then he went out now, and now will be representing like as long as I'm staying down here, I'll represent the UAJJ team, which is the team for the UA, the team here, you know. So, but nothing dramatic, anything. I had a great time, you know, in Checkmate, you know. But yeah,
Because I was wondering,
we were, yeah.
because most of the time when people from the same team end up in the finals, they close out. But it seems like you always fight Buchecha. Is that for any kind of reason, or why did you not ch chose to cl close it out, make a gentleman's agreement?
No, that was just the way it was. Like I fought Yuri Simoes when he was Czech Med as well, who won, I don't remember if I, but it's like we never trained together, and then we went and we fought, you know, and then it was just like, but also it's like it wouldn't make if we would be closing out, because then, you know, we but because we would always meet each other, you know, and I don't know, it's just we don't train together, I don't know him, you know,
Did you guys
so
talk
I
about
think
it, or did you just
no, actually the first time they I didn't ask anything, I just assumed we were gonna fight, but then the guys from the team, they came and asked me to close with them, and then I said, okay, we can do that, it's up to you know, but then they said that we were not gonna fight, and then they came like 15 minutes before the fight and said, ah, I think it's better you fight, you know, and then,
okay.
you know, I was already like not prepared, and then it's like, okay, then I prefer to just fight, you know. Yeah, I fought Kavaka as well when he was Czech Med,
Okay.
so I just since that I never asked, you know, if it's a guy I train with every day, then of course I wouldn't fight, but if it's guys just because on the team that we train together sometime, or then I'm not gonna close, you know, I'm against that as well, people closing just because they're on the same team if they don't train together, you know, I don't. But like for me, I agree with the closing out when it's your teammate, because it's like it's not healthy for the training environment if you know you're gonna fight the guy. How are you gonna react if you have an injury and you know you're gonna fight the guy for sure?
Oh,
Like,
okay.
and how are you gonna not go to training? Are you not gonna tell him that you're injured? Like, I don't know. It's for me, I wouldn't fight like a guy that I train with every day and who's my friend as well.
Okay.
But fighting some guy from the team, I don't have a problem.
Okay. I look at your resume here online on BJJ Heroes. You can see the guys who you have fought and your wins and your losses and everything. It's a pretty decent list with people that are pretty famous. It's Buchecha, Keenan, Leandro Lowe, and Galvao, and everybody. Is there a particular match that you really like hold high in your own mind?
No, I don't. Not. I can't think of like one specific match like that. Not really. Like I had a lot of like the times I won the European, the time I won Brasileiro was like very nice moment as well. But I don't have like one specific fight now.
Is there some specific fight that you like think back on and go like, what the hell did I do wrong here? Why did I lose that
Oh, all the time.
fight?
All the time.
Okay.
I have every time I lose, I have some excuse of if I just had done that thing different, you know. But that's yeah, it's important, you know, to try to think about why you lost, so you can do it better next time. Yeah, but that's all the fights I lost, I'm like that.
So what is your plans to like to win over Rodolfo and Buchecha? Do you have any specific plans to like to win over them next time?
Oh man,
Or tough guys.
it's kind of difficult for me to say. Yeah, like I'm not a black belt world champion. Like I didn't do like a tenth of what those guys did, so it would be kind of strange for me to sit there and then say, yeah, I'm gonna do this to beat them. You know, I'm just gonna. Those two guys, they are like amazing competitors, you know, such as other guys, Galvão. You know, it's. All of them are like amazing athletes, and I'm just yeah, it's I'm just happy to like be able to compete against the best, and I'm not focusing in on, of course I'm training, you know, and I'm looking at what my mistakes were in my other matches, and trying to do it better, you know, so yeah, I'm of course working on strategies and stuff, but like I know it's not those two guys, they're like on a different level right now, you know, and it's their moment, and yeah, all the rest of us just has to work really hard, you know, to try to catch up, you know. So
Do
I'm just focusing on
you
that
feel
now.
like sometimes when you're facing those guys with superstar names, do you feel like, what am I doing here? I'm just a guy from Denmark ending up here, or do you feel like I got a chance on this?
No, I don't feel like that. I don't feel like that. Like the, I don't feel like that. I'm not on the same level to fight with the guys. Like
Okay.
I, Bushish, I lost like 5 times now to him, you know. But it's not like, you know, this last one wasn't my best fight because I also because I got injured. I injured my knee pretty bad the fight before. But the other fights, like it's small details that decide. But it's not like, oh, he wins because he's better. He's in a better moment, you know. But it's not like last year in the semifinal, the we had a draw, like 0-0 and 1-1 on advantages. And I think like the judges kind of forgot to give me an advantage like 30 minutes before, 30 seconds before time, you know. And he won the decision. But you know, it's like he's the. He's the guy, you know, and they're the best, you know, right now. But it's not like I feel like I get intimidated or anything like that, you know.
Okay.
I don't try. I try not to think about people as a person when I go in. I just try to put my jujitsu, my training, what I'm working, and I put it there and see how it goes, you know. But I don't. If you if because if you start to think like that and get intimidated, then it's better just to stay at home, you know. It's it's at home, watch it on TV with some popcorns, you know, and
Do you
so
have,
that's
is
the
it like
mindset.
hard to prepare for these guys? You mean, even, you know, you talked about in your own academy, you have big guys, tough guys. Is it comparable to train to spar with those guys and then to go compete with these superstars?
Like my training partners are really tough, you know, and I have a great training here, you know. So I, but like how are you gonna prepare for a guy like Rodolfo? Like you know you how which training partner are you gonna
Yeah,
find who
exactly.
is gonna like it's kind of I don't know, man. I have great training partners here and. Like I think that for sure that's not the what's missing, you know. I think it's just like yeah, keep working hard, more get more experience, you know, and let's see. Yeah, but
Okay.
the guys are phenoms, you know, so.
You don't seem to show much emotion before or after the fight. You always have like a stone face. Is that any specific reasons for
I think it's just kind of my personality.
that?
I'm kind of like that, you know. But of course, I have a lot of emotions inside when fighting, you know, before the fight, after the fight. But it's like I'm, you know, you have to try to control them. And yeah, and now it's getting easier, you know. Before I would get very nervous. I still get nervous, but it's like now you know the feeling so well that you know how it's. It's like a feeling that's gonna come, and you know the feeling, and it's natural. And but of course, you yeah, it's you feel the pressure sometimes, like fighting like a final in world championships against Bushesha. It's not like it's not the yeah, you feel some adrenaline, you know. But yeah, it's about trying to control the emotions and focus.
So what's the most important for you? Is it like your team or your club?
Well, like how what do you mean?
I just found out that you changed teams, but is it like, are you fighting for your own team, or is it more important for what kind of organizations you're in?
Yeah, for me, I fight for my teacher, and I fight for my training partners, you know, for my that's like my family in jiu-jitsu, you know. So I that's him. If he goes to another team, changes the team, does makes his own team, I'm gonna stay with him, you know. That's like the guy who adopted me in jiu-jitsu and you know did so much for me, and my training partners are there with me every day. So that's who I'm staying to, you know. Yeah.
So the persons inside a team are more important, or and then the team itself, the name.
For sure, for sure.
Okay.
Like for sure, yeah.
When you look back in these last years, when you look back, it's been like, what did you say, 10-something years since you started. When you look back at your career, is there like anything you wish you had done different? If I only knew this, I could have done that different.
Yeah, I think, yeah, for sure. I always think about that, like in my, if I had like had, of course, I didn't have much opportunity back when I started there. Like there wasn't a lot of jiu-jitsu in Denmark, you know, so that's kind of how it was, you know. But if I could have been more focused, you know, in my teen years, you know, more focused, I could have done more. And that's like something that I'm, that's maybe what makes me really disciplined today. You know, I'm not like, I don't miss out training sessions. You know, if I miss out a training session, then I do an extra in the weekend, you know, and I think that's something that's kind of like a, not bad conscience, but like, I'm feeling like I have to catch up, and I do have to catch up, because these guys that I'm fighting, they trained, not only they started younger when training, but when they started, they already had like an academy with like a teacher every day, a lot of colored belts, black belts to train with, you know. You can't even compare, you know. I was like, back when I started, I think there was like not even a purple belt in Denmark. I think it was only blue belts, you know. So yeah, I think I would have been more focused, and I would have believed that it's possible with hard work, because it's not like because someone is, it's just because the Brazilians are ahead, you know. The sport was invented there, and the sport is spreading now to the rest of the world. But it's not like because they are born with some different genetics, you know. It's just knowledge, hard work, you know, experience. So I think that would have, like, if I had had that, yeah, that had been more focused.
Yeah, okay.
That's like the only thing.
So what's your point of view on this drilling? They are like, if you like look at Facebook and stuff, like you have different opinions, you should drill every move thousands of times, or some people say you should more like spar and try to do the techniques in live sparring. What is your like position and thoughts about drilling?
I think some moves like that are a little you know, when it's like a more like advanced acrobatic move, maybe some things that, you know, because some positions are just like a small detail, and but like some the more acrobatic moves, then you, I think it's important to drill to get it into your body, you know. And besides, you know, drilling is like a great way to do like a cardio, like a aerobic workout within your jiu-jitsu training.
Yeah.
I think it's great for that, but I'm like, for me, I'm not like the, I don't like to drill like 500 times like some move like every day. I like to drill it, you know the position, drill it, and then I like to do it in a specific training, like starting or doing it with some like lighter guys, or if some color build, if you have some guys, and then after training, and then trying to do it with the better guys, you know. And so yeah, I think it's important, but it's not like, it shouldn't be like an obsession to do, like when you have the move, and then you don't need to do it like 1,000 times a day, you know?
Okay,
that's my,
yeah, okay, cool. We just talked about looking back and things you wish you had done. What are you happy that you actually did? What are you most pleased with that you we can look back at your career?
That I did,
yeah.
I like achievements. I think I like my world title from weight and open class in brown belt. That was like that's something that's like for sure. It's something really important, you know. And then my big titles at black belt, like my three titles in European and then Brasileiro.
Yeah,
Brasileiro. That was an nice as well to win that as a black belt.
Yeah.
I think those are the main ones.
Okay.
And like regarding your training or like moving or going to Brazil, what has been the most important thing for your career?
For sure, if I hadn't had the opportunity to go to Brazil and train with the level that was in Denmark, it would have been impossible, for sure, for sure. So that's something that was very important, and I was lucky to have that opportunity, but I hope that in the near future, maybe I think it's gonna take some time, but like in the future, that people can train in Europe and do their training there and compete, but it's still gonna take some time because like you need some more experienced guys, some people who had their career competing a lot, and then they open an academy and start having students and stuff, and so it's gonna take some time still, but yeah.
So how much do you know about Danish or Scandinavian Norwegian BDJ today?
I like more or less like I don't know how too much what the, about what's going on like on the scene, like who wins the competitions like in Scandinavia, but like I keep in touch with my friends from my old club at Suave. I always go there when I'm in Denmark, and hang out and train with them, and I see them. They have some good kids, really good kids coming up now. Kids, not like young guys that are like they're blue belts, purple belts, and I see that they're really dedicated, training a lot, so if they keep up, then I'm sure they're gonna have success.
Is
When
there
in Sweden,
any?
it's
Sorry, come again.
Yeah, I'm just no, I'm just like in Sweden. I see it's growing a lot, Norway as well. The academy is full of students, and in I think Sweden, that's probably the biggest, like maybe one of the biggest in Europe for jiu-jitsu, for sure in Scandinavia. So yeah, it's great
Are you planning
seeing in the
any
sport.
seminars in Scandinavian or Europe?
Yeah, actually, the problem for me here is. That's another thing. Like I have to say no to a lot of seminars because I only have 30 days a year that I can travel. Like I have travel out of the country to have a vacation, So this year I spend it with my family in Denmark. But I'm thinking about planning as like a seminar tour in Europe next summer, like June, July. So yeah, so.
All over Europe or more like Scandinavia or?
Yeah, maybe in it depends. It could be all over Europe,
That would be cool.
but I don't have anything planned out for sure yet, but I'm thinking about doing a tour.
I hope so. It would be really nice.
Yeah, I'd like as well.
So, do we have any kind of last tip for the upcoming competitors? Do's and
For
don'ts.
competitors, for competitors, first you have to find out if you really want it, not if you just think it would be kind of cool, because it's not like even like when you see like jiu-jitsu videos and guys, they do a training then go to the beach, but it's a lot of sacrifice. It's very hard mental, like competing and stuff. It becomes a lot harder when you put everything into it. Because you have so much more to at risk, kind of like to lose, you feel like, so you have to really decide, because it's not when if you want to do like really compete at high level, it's not like today I'm tired, or I broke my toe, or like I hurt my toe or something, or my wrist, I'm not gonna train, no, you have to go. I have a cold, no, you have to go, so you have to have a lot of discipline. Even more for us from Scandinavia, because we don't have the same opportunity as the people in the States and Brazil, so we have to work harder. So that's a lot of discipline and study, study jiu-jitsu. not just go to training and just train. You know, you have to have a goal. You have to study positions, fights. You know, everything. You know, so yeah, that I think those are the main things. And try to get, if you want to compete, you know, you nobody's gonna come and like for a blue belt and say, here's a sponsorship, you can just train and don't have to work anything. So you have to find a, yeah, but you know, some people like think that sometimes, yeah, I'm a blue belt, I'd like to compete, I'm looking for a sponsor. You know what, it's not easy. You know, I got my first sponsor when I was a brown belt, you know, and I got like a kimono or something, you know. Yeah. And even today, it's not like you just can lay back and live off a jiu-jitsu sponsorship, you know. So you have to find a work or like that you can work around your training, you know. So and make it or work in the weekends, so doing like a part-time job during the days, and yeah, you have to just plan your life around it, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my advice.
Okay. So is there any sponsors you would like to thank?
Yeah, I'd like to thank Tatami, my kimono sponsor and my main sponsor, and my sponsor Nogard Sports from Denmark, who actually, yeah, they were my first sponsor since purple belt, and then after I got like kimono sponsors when I was brown belt, but they were my first sponsors, you know. So I'd like to thank them. I'd like to thank my teacher Bobby Sponger, all my training partners here, and everybody who helped me. So
cool. And you're on Facebook, you told me before, Alexander Trans.
Yeah.
And perhaps in a soon future you will also have an Instagram or a Twitter or something, so we can follow you in your training sessions and competitions.
Yeah, maybe 2015 I'm gonna make an Instagram as well. I think so.
We hope so. It's always fun, you know, to follow people and see what they do every day and look at pictures of the training and who they're training with and stuff like that.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so you should get on it also.
Yeah, I'm gonna look into that.
Okay, that sounds good. A big thanks for taking time. I know you have a busy schedule. It's really nice talking to you, sure. And getting to know you a little bit and get a little peek in your everyday and see what you're up to and what you're going to do. So before I let you go here, what's the next big thing for you?
The next big thing I'm looking into right now. I was like in negotiation to do a super fight right now, but then I got hurt. I don't think it's nothing serious, but like I think that probably the next of the year I'm not gonna fight, but I'm like the next one for sure. It's the Pan. I'm gonna do the Pan Ams, the World Pro, World Championships, and the ADCC next year. But then I'm looking into like to schedule some. I'd like to do some super fights, you know, and so but nothing nothing for sure yet.
Okay. Well, I wish you the best of luck, and a big thanks again for taking time and being on this podcast.
Thank you. Thank
really
you.
Nice talking to you.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And have a nice weekend and take care.
Thank you, you too. Take care.
Okay, guys, that was it for this time. I hope you liked the podcast. I would like to say a big thanks to submissionfighting.se, Top Rank Equipment, and Defense Soap. Thanks for sponsoring the podcast. And I hope you guys really enjoyed the podcast. And a big thanks to Alexander for taking time. Please check out On The Mat on Facebook. In a short while, it will be a nice offer for you guys to buy some cool equipment for a decent price. So tune in on the Mat BDJ on Facebook and look for the upcoming offers. Take care and have a great weekend.